have, Mr. Chair, and I was thinking about this, and I want to direct this through you to the Ms. Morano, but for example, with the dental increases, are we saying every year in every collective agreement, you know, we're paying current ODA benefits, or do we say, you know, we'll pay the 2016 scale or something like that? Because I know the dentists like to get a nice bump every year, but not everybody has the current ODA suggested prices or whatever. So is that something that we, or do we always say we're paying the current?
Through you, Your Worship, the collective agreement does provide for the current rate, but also one of the attachments, just for information, the attachments to the report, I believe it was attachment 3, I'm thinking, it does show the average increase in the dental, and the increase since 2010 has been going up an average of 2%, 1.98, 1.65, but an average of around 2% up until 2019, where it's expected to go up a little bit higher to approximately 4%, and that's based on what they believe has been a containment of cost in the industry in general, but some of the technology and the equipment that's required in the dental industry is causing pressure on that group, and so there is expected to be a slight increase in 2019, but they have held it for the most part at around 2%.
Okay, so anyway, I look forward to sort of trying to deal with that. Perhaps if we do implement administrative services only, that'll curtail that somewhat, but I still think, though, if these increases keep going up the way they have been, that we're simply not going to be able to, you know, provide the level of benefits that we are, that's all. And so I don't think it's fair to the taxpayer at the end of the day. So, all right, thank you.
All right, anything further on that? Councillor Anderson.
A quick point to Joe's point. I know some of the industries I deal with, they negotiate costs between carriers, so I don't know if Ms. Morano can answer if that has been done to try and keep the cost down. You do negotiations between different insurance provider, service providers.
So Ms. Morano.
Through the chair. Yes, in fact, we have, we realized substantial savings when we went out in 2016 for roughly a 5-year period. And that's the recommended time frame is a 5-year, because if you go out to the market more often than that, you don't get the competitive bids coming forward. So we have historically been generally sticking with a 5-year time frame, and we will be going out again once the time frame comes forward, 2022, I believe it is.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything further? Call the question, all in support. Opposed. That is carried. Thank you. Item 45, single-use plastics and garbage pails.
So, Mr. Chair, I'm going to move that that be referred back to staff, I guess community services staff, or do I need to specify staff or community services?
I think you can just say staff.
Staff, okay. And yes. For a report back in June, is that possible? How about report back by May 31st? How's that?
So I'm seeing a head shake isn't going to work for June.
Okay, so I'm asking for a date, sir.
Yeah, Mr. Caruana, what does your department look like? I'm thinking Mr. Horvath will be involved in this as well, I'm guessing. So, gentlemen, what do your plates look like? I know they're full. When will this work to come back?
I haven't conferred with my colleague at the end of the table, but I'll step out on a limb and suggest that it'll be this fall. Obviously, we'd like to get it sooner than later because of the fall operations in our buildings. There's only one more meeting prior to the break. I don't know that we can do enough research to get that done. There's some consultation that has to happen with some of the leasors in our buildings. You know, for lack of a specific date, I would suggest the early fall.
So
the 9th or 23rd of September. Council.
So how about this would be general government?
So there's okay. A joint on the 9th. The 23rd is the
So 23rd, September okay. 23rd, the day after my birthday, and then I'll celebrate with...
No straws.
I'll celebrate with a real wine glass, Mr. Chair. So not a plastic one. Anyway, but the other thing was, I think it when I my discussions with Mr. Caruana, it was going to be broader than what's just listed here. So it could be a full building Clarington-wide issue as opposed to what's specified here. So I don't think we... Do I need to change the wording on that or...
No, I think we can have some dialogue, but Councillor Zwart, you're seconding that just so we can have that dialogue. Perfect. So I think so that staff understand, why don't we have a bit of dialogue around that now, exactly what you're doing, so they understand the expectations coming back.
So why don't we just say that be banned from municipal buildings? That single-use plastics, non-recyclable, be banned from municipal buildings, and staff report back on that. How's that? Because my discussions with Mr. Caruana was, let's not just talk about Rickard. Let's talk about, you know,
so all can the... Can we get a where possible in there? Because the challenge is, you know, the spirit of what you're trying to do versus the letter of the law, and there may be things. Mr. Caruana is trying to get my attention here.
Your Worship, with all due respect, the report will try to address all of the buildings. If there are any anomalies associated with that, we'll highlight those in the report and bring it back accordingly. I don't need any more direction than what we have today. I understand the intent of where we're going with it, and I'm totally fine with it.
There you go. All right, anything further on that? Seeing none, call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Oh, yeah, hide it on me. Item 47, Councillor Hooper.
Yes, sir. I just wondered if we could just add at the end where it says local MPs and MPPs, I should say, and MPs, because it does impact a lot of throughout, not just MPPs, but MPs federally as well, in regards to what's happening in Ottawa and places like that. So I just the housekeeping, that's why I wonder if that was okay. We can add that to it, please.
So you're moving that as written,
yes.
Simply with the inclusion of and local MPs.
Yes, please.
Okay, seconded by Councillor Anderson. You didn't make eye contact, but I'm picking on you anyway. Oh, come on, that was way funnier than you guys just gave me credit for that. Questions, comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Anderson, H and J. So this is on page 51, and this was the grant application for the Boys and Girls Club of Durham and the grant app for Rehoboth Christian Reformed Church. And you were going to move that they be respected.
For information purposes, with a response thanking them for their application.
Okay, so I think the clerk was looking for respectfully denied.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
That will work too. Thanks.
Do we have a seconder for that? Councillor Neal, thank you. Questions or comments? Call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. All right. If I'm not mistaken, that deals with the GG agenda. Councillor Neal.
So moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Trail, that the recommendations contained in the Planning and Development Committee report of May 13th, 2019 be approved on consent. And I wanted to pull the, I think it's item number three, I believe.
Number three, that's the Curtis Main Street?
Yes, please.
All right. Beyond three, do we have any polls? Councillor Hooper.
Number six, and the same as reason I'm pulling it, because housekeeping.
All right. So I've got three and six. Anything further? Call the question on the balance. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Councillor Neal, do you have a motion for me on three?
Yeah, move as written, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, so receive for information. All right, seconded by Councillor Jones. Thank you. Councillor Neal.
Yeah, thanks, Mr. Chair. So I just wanted to, I guess, express a bit of a concern that from what I could see was planned, for example, the grocery store, the I don't know, No Frills or whatever it's planned for there, is looking to me a lot like kind of what the rest of the Curtis Strip looks like. So I have to say that I'm a bit concerned that we spent a lot of time and money on this, but, you know, for example, it's not going to look like the grocery store in Newcastle, which was, you know, we made sure it had a nice front on it, and it kind of blended in with the historic Newcastle. Not that this is a historic area, but are we really going to see something that is, people will drive by and say, I see something that draws me there other than just cheap food or a cheap place to shop for groceries. So anyway, just expressing a bit of a concern about that, and I understand that, you know, it's going to be a few years in the making, but are we going to be paying, I guess through you, Mr. Chair, to Mr. Seaman, are we going to be paying close attention to what people are proposing there, and do we have any kind of a design that, you know, you can't just throw up aluminum siding grocery store and bright green and say, this is what your Curtis downtown center looks like. So, kind of a long-winded question, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Seaman.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, we're going to be, I think like all of these areas, we will be seeking a high standard of urban design, and certainly in terms of the grocery store, I'll take that back to the policy commercial development section and have them look at that and see if there's anything that can be done to address the concerns. But the purpose of the strip there is to really, where the Curtis Center is to create that sense of identity and quality design. And no, it's not a historical traditional neighborhood, but quality design can be achieved in a modern sense as well, and in a coordinated nature. So I'll convey that to the staff as well.
Okay, I guess I'll look with interest to what actually goes up there. I just was hoping that we wouldn't see a lot more of the same, you know, which is what is town line, right? I thought we had the chance to sort of do this from scratch and maybe not repeat what was, you know, to the west. But if all we're doing is moving the parking lot to the rear as opposed to the front, have we really accomplished our objective in the end, which was to have something that people could say, there's downtown Curtis, instead of always saying, where is Curtis? So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Do we have anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Yes, thank you. And thank you, Councillor Neal, for bringing that forward. Just through you to Mr. Seaman, I think previously in being involved in some of the, for example, Newcastle, the corner of Darlington Boulevard where they put the Shoppers, and I think they will probably have charrettes and things like that where they'll get public input in regards to what they would like to see along those stretches of the highway. And I think that they did that with Darlington Boulevard and the Shoppers Drug Mart that's there, and I believe the seniors' home that's on the other side as well.
Through you, Mr. Mayor, yeah, whether it's an opportunity for public input in the process, for sure we would be looking to achieve that and get that sense of place and vision for the area.
Perfect, thank you.
All right, anything further on that? So, Mr. Seaman, I wonder if you can distribute to councillors some of the visualizations that we have. And Councillor Neal, I think you'll see that there are some differences. So my recollection is the parking, as opposed to being right against the road. You've got the buildings, you've got some parkettes, some green space. So I think you'll be pleased, at least as pleased as, you know, as we can push with that. But let's get the visualizations and take a look and have some more dialogue. But it is, you know, the degree of planning versus what used to happen is good. On that, I'll call the question. All in support? Opposed? That is carried. Thank you. Councillor Hooper, item six, so you are making a minor amendment?
Yes, I am, your worship, and it's just at the end. I presented this at our most recent CLOCA board meeting in regards, I didn't read all the whereases and everything, but everybody there felt that it should have, as well as all Durham Region municipalities added to the end.
So that's in item five.
A lot thought that that was an excellent idea that was brought forward in regards to that, so.
Right, so, so after, say, the regional municipality of Durham, the local Durham municip, and local Durham municipalities for their endorsement and support?
That's correct, yes, please, thank you.
Seconded by Councillor Anderson? Yes. Okay, on that, do we have any questions? Oh, go ahead, Councillor Hooper. Oh, you're voting, all right, well, all, in that case, all in support? Opposed, and that is carried, thank you. All right, so the next is item 11. This is LGL-005-19, the Enbridge Gas Franchise Agreement. Need a motion? Okay, moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Anderson. Councillor Neal?
Need the Coles Notes version of this.
I'm sorry?
Need the Coles Notes version of this.
Oh, yeah, right. So is that a genuine question for the, okay. Mr. McIver?
Coles Notes version is that back in February, council approved this agreement in principle. It had to go to the Ontario Energy Board for approval. That happened. Everything went as predicted. It's now come back to you for formal enactment. There's no material changes to what was voted upon back in February.
Okay, Mr. Chair, sort of had a lot of other things I've been focusing on. I'm sure other members of council have as well. You know, like, so what are we doing exactly with Enbridge? Can you?
Through the chair, you're renewing permission for Enbridge to situate its pipes in our roadways.
That's it?
That's it. There's terms in it that deal with how costs will be apportioned if they have to be relocated. In most cases, Enbridge would pay for that. If the municipality is responsible for the realignment of a road, and it's because we've caused it to happen, then Enbridge still contributes to that, but the municipality contributes as well.
Okay, and is there anything that provides something by way of extension of services, you know, to areas? I know we're always leaning on Bell to do various things. Do we?
There's nothing in it that creates a positive obligation for them to expand, but just by the nature of it, it covers the whole municipality. So
okay.
It enables expansions.
Okay, thank you.
All right, anything further? Call the question, all in support. Opposed, that is carried, thank you. Unfinished business, I've got 13.1. This is the motion from Ajax regarding the Pickering Airport. So that was referred, so I need a motion on that, please. Councillor Trail. You can simply receive it.
Yep, motion to receive.
Okay, questions or comments? So I can't emphasize strongly enough how I think moving a motion to endorse this is the appropriate thing to do. It's a, it's in principle, it's based on the business plan making sense. It encourages tens of thousands of possible jobs, businesses coming to Durham, and whether it's, you know, in Pickering, our residents having the opportunity to work in either businesses that are locating here or not. Our understanding from Regional Council, from Mayor Ryan, is there's a business, a significant business, that's considering coming here based on support. I know we're hearing that there could be airports somewhere else. You know what? I want the jobs in Durham. So if we're serious about economic development, this is the easiest thing in the world to do. To endorse someone else's motion. So I don't know if I can speak any more strongly in favor of that. All right, seconded by Councillor Traill. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Councillor Neal.
Well, I guess I tried I think at the committee meeting I moved that it be deferred until the business case was actually presented. So if there is no business case for the airport, I'm not sure what effect or any motion has. So I just think I hear what you're saying, Mayor Foster, about the jobs. Same time, you know, there's one taxpayer, you know, and I know the experience in Montreal with Mirabel Airport wasn't a good one. They ended up shutting it down. So it's one of those ones where I see both sides of the argument, but at the end of the day, I'd like to see a business case, and then I would absolutely support it. But if there's no business case for a second airport, which are hugely expensive to, you know, to build, operate, I just don't necessarily see us wading into this particular argument. We've got lots of other issues to contend with, i.e., you know, the GO train. I think we should really keep our efforts focused on that, but which is something that Clarington really needs. And I don't want to get on a sidetrack here, but anyway, I'm not sure that we have all the information we need to make a decision on this, such as a business case. So, thank you.
All right. Anything further? And again, I think I made my point as strongly as I could, but the business case, of course, will be decided by the federal government. I think the point of doing this, one, is showing support for one of our sister municipalities. As a matter of fact, this is Ajax. This isn't even Pickering that moved it forward. So, one, the support is good. Secondly, it's having our voices heard. This has been out there for 47 years. Our understanding is the federal government has that business case. It has not been released. We want to see this thing move forward or not. So part of the point in this is either build it or kill it, but let's not wait another 47 years before we see where that is going. So. Again, I would encourage council to consider endorsing this. It is based on a business case. The federal government is not going to build a Mirabel based on Clarington's motion here tonight. But we can show the rest of Durham that we support it. We can show residents that we support economic development, such as what we did tonight, and job growth, and you know, the solidarity, the support for sister municipalities goes a very long way. It will be appreciated. And this, in terms of being pulled into anything, this is pretty simple. It's support it. I can tell you we had a brief opportunity to talk with the Premier, you know, and the Premier is interested in seeing the federal government make a decision on this because of the huge economic benefits that that could come. So I see no bad to come out of endorsing this. It is endorsing it in principle. So on the motion to receive for information, and a recorded vote, please, Madam Clerk.
On the motion to receive correspondence from the Town of Ajax and receive it for information. Councillor Anderson?
No.
Councillor Hooper?
No.
Councillor Jones?
Yes.
Councillor Neal?
Yes.
Councillor Traill?
Yes.
Councillor Zwart?
Yes.
Mayor Foster?
No. And that motion passes. Councillor Neal, you've got a motion with regards to item 13.2.
Yes, I do, Mr. Chair. There's a typo on it, so. So moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Jones, that staff be directed to cite the ending of the Farewell Trail in the ravine north of Pinedale Boulevard, not Pinecrest, Pinedale, but south of the original route, such that it remains above the top of bank for the creek and south of the drainage manhole, and any additional costs be funded at the discretion of the Director of Finance. If I could speak to it, Mr. Chair. I've been down there probably four times at least, I think maybe five times if I count the time I went back to get my saw. I mean, so we got a Curtis is challenged at, you know, from, we just talked about the Main Street, but this is something, so the people live in Curtis, and again, I'm proud to live there, but we don't have an inspiring town center, you know, that people flock to. It's functional. Hopefully it's going to get better, but this is a trail that I think will be one of the highlights of Curtis. I think it's going to generate tremendous amount of use. It already has, and a tremendous amount of resident support, and the section that's been built already has done that. So this is going to be the end of what I think is going to be a great feature for the residents of Curtis for a long time. The thing that concerns me is the first thing that strikes, you know, when you go on the route suggested by staff, and you come to the top, the first thing you see is a huge drainage pond, which is, first of all, it's not visually appealing in the least, and I suppose you could dress that up, and then you go up, you traverse around the drainage pond, and then you're in the back, you're looking in people's backyards. That's how the trail finishes. So you go from being in an area where it feels like you're actually out in a nice forested area, and you realize immediately you're in an urban area, and it's kind of over. So the one thing that has struck me every time I've gone down there is if you stay in the ravine, you can hear the creek, whereas if you're up at the top of the drainage pond and you're near the houses as it finishes, you don't hear that at all. And so I'm simply suggesting that there is a better route, albeit I know staff put a lot of time into recommending the one they have, but this is something that is going to be, I think, important for the residents of Curtis. And I know it's some additional money, there's additional work. But the other thing is the report that you have talks about going into a muddy area. So that tells me that it's not the area that I was suggesting be considered. It's much higher up the bank. You bypass that whole muddy area, which is down near the creek. That is the original route. So, and then as you go through the ravine, you're about halfway up. You're already a fair distance up the bank. So yeah, there's a elevation that you have to get to the top. But in my view, and I asked staff to provide actual elevation measurements when I went with Mr. Windolf last, I think it was last week or the week before, I can't remember. But it's pretty much similar to the climb you have to do on the staff preferred route. So I'm asking council to consider passing this, and I think it's going to be there for a long time, and the additional money I think is going to be well worth it, and I think the residents are going to be very thankful and happy that they've got a trail that it, truly, when you're on it and you hear the river, the creek below it, you really think you're somewhere other than Curtis. So thank you.
Assuming Councillor Jones seconded that. Okay, and do you want? Oh, the clerk is asking you.
Well, okay, so the clerk has asked me, but that's why I tried to describe it in the motion, Mr. Chair, because I don't think the map is what I had walked.
Right, but I think we can display the map if you want to speak to it with the map being displayed.
Sure. Yeah.
So, Councillor Neal, so try to walk us a bit through
the
distinction between, you know, where you thought, where they thought, and where you really think.
Well, I guess I'd have to move it. Do you mind if I just go to the podium, Mr. Chair?
Okay.
Do you mind if I go to the podium and just...
Sure, please. So if you want to write on that, I'm pretty sure they can print another one. Councillor, we sort of put you on. So, you know, Councillor, fair enough. Did not mean to put you on the spot. We thought that might help, so. Right. Councillor Jones.
If I could just echo everything that Councillor Neal has said, that I have walked this a few times too, and talking to a lot of the residents in Curtis, they love phase one of the trail already. It's not even officially open. They love that part of it. They love being, as soon as you come up that bank, you feel like you're in the middle of a subdivision again. You see all the houses there. I think that this is a good compromise because some of the residents that homes are along there, they have voiced their concerns about being quite close into their properties, although it is municipal land, so I completely understand why it could go that way. It's just that this is also a nice compromise that you get a better walk through nature, you hear the creek, you forget that you're in the middle of a subdivision. So I think that's what a lot of people are looking for these days, that they want to be in nature. And it would also make those homeowners along there also happy that people are not walking right behind their homes. That's certainly not why Councillor Neal and I want this route, but it would also make them happy. It's a compromise there. And I have spent quite a bit of time speaking with other people who know about trails and that there are ways that we can also make this accessible. There's a trail in Ajax that has switchbacks in it. So that would still allow for accessibility, for bikes to be able to ride, bicycles to be able to ride it, wheelchairs, it would be accessible to everyone. And although there may be an extra cost involved, I think that it's well worth it in the end to have a trail that is going to be in Curtis for many, many years that residents of Curtis will be able to enjoy and people from all over Clarington. And I even hope that at some point in the future, there's a possibility that we may be able to match this up with Oshawa and have a longer trail right through there. And there's possibility in the future of maybe even developing this further to have different routes. But I think that the route that Councillor Neal is suggesting is a good idea.
All right, anything further? Councillor Hooper.
Sorry, yes, thank you. Now, the orange route that's proposed up there, being proposed, where is the creek in relation to, in regards to that? I've heard a lot about being in people's backyards, I get that. But where is the creek? I'm trying to get my, and I'm sorry, I did not go over to make it over there to actually visualize this the trail. So through you to Mr. Cannella, I guess, where is the creek in regards to the orange draw marking there?
Just looking at the plan, just to keep it simple, straight upwards, the contours start to, you don't see all the contours there, but the creek is about, say, same distance between the orange and the pink to the top of the page. It's the distance away.
Because I'm hearing about, you know, you're still going to hear the stream meandering, so I'm just trying to figure out, you know, how far up or where it is in regards to the orange trail. Oh, it's way up there. Okay, thank you. In regards to the pink, not the pink, I should say, yeah, the pink, was that done by a consultant or was that done in-house?
It's done by both. We staff established a trail in principle, what we were looking for, and it was finished with details out in the field by a consultant.
Okay, and the degree of slopage that, I just don't want to have what we have down at the Wilmot Trail down at the east end where we, the Jim Boat Hill, where we had the original was very steep. If that's, are we going to have something like that in this location if we go with the orange trail?
I wouldn't say that, no. What you have with the orange trail over the pink or purple is a stretch of 10%, I think 50% longer than the pink trail. The pink trail is a little flatter overall. From an accessibility perspective, it's a more desirable route. It's what the public are using currently.
The pink trail.
That's correct.
About. Okay. And further to my comments, how much more is it going to add to the price of doing the orange as opposed to doing the pink? Yeah, approximately, I'm not going to.
I'm going to have to, it's about $144,000, $43,000. But you're looking at two different types of construction. One, the pink, is more or less attacking contours or slopes at more or less 90 degrees, and we're not cutting into a bank, which the slope stability at this point is unknown. So the pink trail stays on top of the bank. It climbs the bank, but not on a diagonal more at 90 degrees to the contour, straight up sort of thing. But it doesn't, we don't excavate too much into the embankment, because the problem that we have is that slope stability is always an issue in any embankment. And that design, the orange one, is actually cutting into the embankment all the way. So it's a much more complicated design. You'll notice that there's an armor stone wall required to try to keep the trail in its proposed design. There's a lot more trees being lost in that design. But the biggest problem, and Councillor Neal and I had a discussion about a mucky area. There is a mucky area down near the creek. But after talking to staff, what I also found out is that the slope itself is seeping. We know it's seeping in one area, and that's probably contributing to the mucky area towards the bottom. Concern I have is that when you construct a trail or anything into an embankment, you're going to encounter, and it's a long stretch, and you can see where contours are tight, that's steep. So what happens is you cut into the embankment and you're going to collect runoff, or you're going to collect seepage. We know there's at least one spot, but by digging into the embankment, we could have other spots occur. That being said, there's a swale that has to be constructed to try to pick up this drainage. This is going to be a complicated project, so the costs are high, the initial costs, but if if you have to maintain it because of drainage, it's going to be difficult to do so. It's, you know, anytime we get into embankments, we have a problem. The best one I can give you is one local here at Green Road and Baseline Road. Mr. Colville, his embankment has a seepage area, and it's a problem. And that is easily accessible. This is not so easily accessible. So we're you know, can it be done? Can be done, no question. I can build either one. But with the orange alignment, you're running into a lot more of unknowns and the complexity for a contractor. I think our number is reasonable, but I'm not surprised if it comes in higher, simply because of the complexity of that kind of work. You may need different equipment because you're building this on a slope while the majority of the pink alignment is on flatter ground because we're on top of the top of bank. As far as the discussion about screening, you'll notice that many of the houses already have screening. You can see at the bottom a portion of the plan. There's what we're proposing to do is infill with more screening and around the stormwater management pond on the right side. That area to me is quite barren. We'd like to go in there and plant, do plantings that will grow and then start giving you that feel. Because I do agree with if you, you know, if you're in amongst trees and shrubbery and stuff, it's a nicer walk. So in some cases, you know, what you're doing with the orange is you're wiping out mature trees that I know Conservation Authority has problems with. And those actually contribute to the slope stability. The hatched markings up there, that's the trees that will have to come down. So it's quite significant in my mind. So I don't like going in and messing around with slopes. Once there's a problem, it usually ends up being a costly, and it could be a costly problem. But again, at this point, we've chosen an alignment that we feel it does the job. The public's using it. I think what we have to do is maybe add some shrubs and such to make it a natural, a more pleasing appearance or feel.
A couple more questions, quick questions. I see in the first part of the presentation here, it says that the Accessibility Advisory Committee agreed with the pink trail, as well as the Active Transportation Committee. Were they in support of that too as well?
That's my understanding, that's correct.
Okay, so my final question is, what about somewhere in between the orange and the pink? Like there's a very plain, there's no trees, there's no, is that where most of the slopage is? Where the hatching is there in the middle?
The whole area that you're looking at there for the most part is trees. I'm just showing in the hatching, the ones that we need to remove.
Oh, okay.
That whole area is treed, the slope.
Okay, thank you very much.
Councillor Short.
So on that bow around the stormwater management pond, is that armor stone wall as well?
There is an armor stone wall spillway, but for the most part, that's a clay core, I believe, with some vegetation. But there wasn't a whole lot of vegetation, so that's an area that I think is part of the design. We should incorporate a fair number of trees just to give it a more appealing sense when you walk through that area. But that pond is man-made. We constructed that back in, I think, 1984, 86. And that slope is quite stable.
Okay, I have walked the trail and I've seen that pond. But my question was, do you have to put that, is that arm or stone wall existing, or are you going to have to put it in?
No, it's existing. Its function is simply in the event that we have a very significant storm, the pond will be protected by a spillway so that the water doesn't breach the earthen part of the pond itself, but goes on a protected area, so it spills out naturally over the embankment.
Thank you.
All right, do we have anything further? So, Councillor Neal.
So, the route up around the stormwater management pond, you come out of the trees and there's like those wire weir filled with rocks and, you know, it just looks terrible. Like that's your trail to me, that's all. And you can't do anything with it. You can't plant trees in that. That's, you're stuck with that. So, and I think there is supposed, under the pink route, there is supposed to be an arm or stone wall created there, is my understanding, that doesn't exist there now. I believe that the route that I was walking, for example, with Peter Windolf, there was more closer to the pink than what's represented there. But it's hard for me to say that for certain. But once we got to the point where there was an elevation, you were pretty close to the end. Like it was almost, you know. So that's a gradual slope, and then yeah, you do have the elevation gain, but you got it over to the right of what's shown on there. So you're gonna have to, like, you end up at the same elevation from the same starting point, is my point. So it's just, you know, you're not creating additional height by going more towards the orange. So it's the same, you end up in the same spot, but in a much more visually appealing route to me. Thanks.
All right. So Mr. Cannella, the arm or stone wall, and it does appear if we're looking at the map, and I'm looking at the one that I've got here, that you will be putting a wall up. I hate retaining walls because ultimately we need to fix them and they are incredibly expensive to fix. Are these essentially retaining walls? And it looks like you've got to do some on either option here.
These are just north of where it says, or just to the top of the page where it says stormwater management pond, that is a retaining wall, and it is a riprap type. Or sorry, pardon me. It's likely the same as the one to the left of the page. It's not a riprap. It would be armor stone, which is those big rocks, like landscaping type of rocks.
And those are the ones that 20 years from now will have slid down. Am I being too cynical? But
a tad cynical, no. I think those rocks, the armor stone, once set properly, they should stay there because they're not just dropped in place. There's a process. The other thing that I haven't mentioned is that anytime you get into any slope type of issues like and introduce things like retaining walls, what we generally like to do is some sort of bioengineering. And you see that on water courses quite a bit. And all that means is that whatever hard work we put in there, like stones, riprap, or whatever you want to call it, it's anchored by vegetation. So around that area, what I think you'd find once we get into the final detailed design, you're going to find that we'll be using vegetation to really be the thing that stabilizes that embankment. It won't be simply just the armor stone that will be able to do the job, but it's in addition, vegetation, trees, what have you, something that'll anchor itself to that slope. The slope's in good shape in that area because that was man-made, and I was a little concerned that did it at any point in time. We had a couple of major storms that filled that pond.
So I'm speaking generally on both. I'm going to call it option A and option B, the orange and the purple. Is that true of both options? That we're going to put this stuff down and, you know, 20 years from now or whenever, we're not going to see a huge bill to put the stuff back to where it was.
I'm fairly confident. There's always exceptions to the rule.
No, that's fine. I just want to know if there's a difference.
I feel confident with that.
Offhand, and my concern with the motion is just go out and do it, regardless of what the cost is. What was the cost of the original cost of this trail? This part of the trail?
Well, the total project is in the order of $1.1 million. This particular section, we were doing cost comparisons. And this section, comparing the pink to the orange, the memo advises you that it's in the order of about $143,000 and change. But that is a tad conservative because it's the unknowns that concern me.
But it's 143 over 1.1.
It's 143 just on this section.
No, I get it, but
in addition to
but this is sort of phase two of the trail. So yeah. If phase two, if you just went with what you were proposing, the purple, do you recall the cost of just doing the purple? I'm trying to see how much we've escalated the cost of this piece.
For that purpose, then, you're looking at about $143,000, 150, say, rounded figures, higher than the original design or the budget.
Thank you. It's not really what I'm asking for, but I forget what page it's on. It's 143.9 or something. You have articulated.
Yeah.
You have articulated that. Councillor Neal, my concern is, regardless of what the motion says, regardless of what it costs, whatever dough we put here, we don't put somewhere else. And you're suggesting that staff may not have an accurate assessment of where the trail is going. It feels sort of open-ended. Mr. Cannata, do you have, and I think the answer is that you don't have concerns, but on an accessibility viewpoint, the grading of the trail is not going to be a problem. So Councillor Jones is suggesting we could have switchbacks if that were necessary. I could see the cost escalating significantly. But I think I heard you say that this wasn't going to be another Jim Boat Hill.
That's correct. I don't see that as being the case.
Okay.
Just to kind of put things in perspective, that orange line, irrespective, if you move it towards the pink or move it away from the pink, the costs are going to be in the same order. They're not going to change. The additional costs won't change very much at all. You're talking about a principle in terms of one design that's fairly straightforward versus a design that's a little more complicated and riskier.
All right. With that, call the question. All in support? Opposed? And that is carried. All right. The next is the confidential memo from the solicitor. This is with regards to industrial land in South Curtis. I'd suggest a motion to receive is probably in order. Councillor Neal, second by Councillor Trail. Whoops. Clerk didn't like that plan. We already dealt with that, so just received the memo. Ah. Ha. What? What? Did I hear I was right? That motion is on the floor. All in support. Motion to receive, that is. Opposed? And that is carried. Thank you. We've got, before we get into the bylaws, why don't we deal with Mr. Ward's issue? May I have my little script, please? May I have a motion that, in accordance with Section 232 of the Municipal Act, 239.2 of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended, the meeting be closed for the purpose of discussing the following one matter, and that is a matter that deals with advice that is subject to solicitor-client privilege, including communications necessary for that purpose. Moved by Councillor Neal, seconded by Councillor Anderson. All in support? Opposed? Carried. Thank you. All right, so we'll rise and report that one item was discussed in closed session in accordance with Section 239(2) of the Municipal Act 2001 as amended, and no resolutions were passed. So we still have the matter to deal with. I think there's some questions that could be directed to Mr. Horvath on the matter. Councillor Neal, I'm guessing you have some.
Do you want to, I'll stand down, do you want to move some? Do you want me to put that on the floor?
Okay. So we need a motion.
Okay, I'm going to give you a motion to refer the matter back to staff to determine what rectifying measures can be done to alleviate the situation.
Okay, and that's seconded by Councillor Zorg. All right.
So I guess I wrote this down when I was in the, just a thought occurred to me. But what is the actual road allowance there? Like, does it, how far does it extend beyond the actual physical pavement onto the property at 14 Hoy? In other words, is there a municipal portion there that we are free to go in and create a swale out of, like, because we own it type of thing? Or what's the exact ownership situation there?
Through you, Mr. Chair, the road allowance is wider than the traveled portion of the road. I don't know the exact dimensions of the road or the road's width. It would have a rural cross-section based on where it is. It probably doesn't have a standard width. It's wide enough to accommodate some form of drainage feature.
So, Mr. Chair, then to me is a very simple solution that Clarington goes back in and recreates the swale, and if it got filled in, then that's okay. Like, we'll remove it. But we have swales all over the place, right? So whoever filled it in and why, to me, is irrelevant. We have the right to recreate it, in my mind, but that's why I'm saying, why don't we refer it back to staff and have them come back and say, here's how we're going to fix this, and end of story. You know, there's no legal action needed. Is just get a grader in there and create a ditch, and that's it. Thank you.
Yep. So, Mr. Horvath would like to weigh in.
So you did hear the delegate say that no one's listening to him. We've been in regular contact with him, discussing the improvements we're going to make. We were there the first time, and notice something that we didn't catch the first time, and explained to him what we were going to do. He claims that what we're proposing will not work. We're very confident that it will work. We're taking the shots tomorrow. We're meeting him, I believe, at 10 o'clock in the morning. I believe that will solve the problem. Whatever we come up with, if we tweak it one way or the other, with regard to if it works the way we expect it to work, my understanding is that the swale will be reinstalled or reconfigured to go back to the original conditions and altering that driveway. But certain things have to happen. That's why we listen to the resident when we're meeting with the residents to go over that. So I did take exception to the fact he says we're not listening to him. We do listen to him, and we're working with him. So hopefully we'll have, if council wants us to send an email after our meeting with them tomorrow, we're more than glad to follow up with you before the end of the week.
Anything further? So, Mr. Horvath, the motion that's in front of us right now is exactly what you're doing?
That is correct, Mr. Mayor.
So if we pass this, does it make